2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 5 o'clock. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story this hour.
An overnight snowstorm means you'll want to plan ahead to get to work on time this morning.
The plows and the salt are doing their work, though, so it could be a lot worse than it is. Our live team coverage begins with KSL News Radio's Adam Small at the KSL Storm Desk. Adam?
Yeah, Amanda, right now, if you look on the KSL Vortex, it looks like the storm has passed for the most part over the Salt Lake Valley, though it looks like some parts of the southwestern end are getting hit right now, like around Harriman, mostly moving into the mountains. And that's kind of where I've been seeing this storm has been moving east. And it's been good for the freeways. The freeways are mostly clear this morning, though, on my way. And I did hit the occasional ice and snow. So my advice may just be lay off of cruise control for the time being. Where you might run into more problems is going to be on some of the side streets as crews are working to clear those up as well. UDOT's John Gleason tells KSL-TV again, be extra careful out there today.
If you're driving in snow, make sure that you're slowing down. Make sure that that you're focused on the road. Put away the phone. Put away any distractions and just focus on the road ahead.
Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
It is Avalanche Awareness Week, and as the snow continues, the danger of avalanches increases.
The Utah Avalanche Center is kicking off the fourth annual Avalanche Awareness Week with an event at Sugar House Park in Salt Lake City. But did you know that 17 people in the U.S. died last year in an avalanche? Four of them in Utah. Utah is the fourth highest state for avalanche fatalities behind Colorado, Alaska, and Washington. Victims of avalanches are usually backcountry recreationists, snowmobilers, climbers, snowboarders, snowshoers, skiers, and hikers. Snowmobilers have twice the number of fatalities compared to any other activity. The Utah Avalanche Center advises to always check the avalanche report prior to any activity in the backcountry. Alexandria Bonilla, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The FBI is investigating what authorities are calling a deliberate attack on two power substations in Moore County, North Carolina. And they think the attack may have targeted a drag show that drew protesters Saturday night. Thousands of people like Deborah Tyner were forced to shelter at a local sports complex.
Got no way to heat because we don't have a fireplace. And then we don't have no gas grill or anything like that, so we're just stranded.
Duke Energy expects it could be Thursday before power is fully restored.
The Supreme Court plans to hear arguments today in what could become a landmark case juxtaposing free speech rights against LGBTQ rights. It's a case out of Colorado. A Christian website designer wanted a federal court to declare she would not have to help a gay couple build a wedding website. Colorado does not allow businesses to discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation. Could be months before we know how the justices decide after hearing today's arguments.
The investigation into the murders of four University of Idaho students is entering a critical week.
Detectives are expected to receive forensic test results more than 3 weeks after Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Zaina Kernertle, and Ethan Chapin were found stabbed in their off-campus home.
This community is not going to heal until this guy's pulled off the streets. It ain't going to happen.
Kaylee's father confirms his daughter's wounds were more severe than Madison's, and he says autopsy reports show their causes of death do not match. Investigators say Kaylee and Madison were killed in the same bed on the top floor of the house.
That's ABC's Morgan Norwood reporting.
Months after the death of a young woman in police custody in Iran, that country's attorney general says the Iranian morality police being disbanded. But Iranian state media is disputing those claims, and protesters are not backing down. The morality police enforces the country's Islamic dress code.
A group of economists has some predictions for 2023, and it's less bleak than you might expect.
The National Association for Business Economics says you'll notice the changes.
They expect slow growth in 2023 and far fewer jobs being created. Nevertheless, the economy will continue to grow.
But NABE's Ken Simonson says the word recession didn't come up much among respondents to its latest outlook survey.
The expectations are for growth in real gross domestic product and in jobs every quarter. So that would not signal a recession.
He says most who say a recession is likely also say it should be short. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
First look traffic. Andy Farnsworth is back in the traffic center. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, he's at home snoozing, I
hope.
Oh,
well.
This is Eric.
Eric, but, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. We've got wet road conditions along the Wasatch Front and some slowdown spots, but not as bad as you might have expected this morning. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time 5:05.
The Utah Wildlife Board has approved a new 10-year Utah statewide elk management plan. And KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard-Bell reports it includes several changes to elk hunting.
A committee of hunters, landowners, farmers, as well as members from state and federal agencies put their heads together to revise the current elk management plan that expires this month. A number of changes have been made, but the new plan will be in place for the next 10 years. You can find out more if you visit the UWD website.
The previous elk plan is set to expire later this month.
Lots of sports to talk about from over the weekend. Here's the big one. The number 8 Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl to face number 11 Penn State on January 2nd. KSL Sports Utes insider Michelle Bodkin says outside of a blowout loss at UCLA, it's been a pretty good season.
From there on out, it's been a couple of 3-point loss games. And like I said, it's really starting to feel like this team has the country's attention.
And they are peaking at the right time. Yeah. We also know where BYU and Utah State will wind up in the postseason. BYU headed to the New Mexico Bowl for the second time. They'll face the SMU Mustangs. That's scheduled for December 17th. And then Utah State headed to Dallas, Texas, and the ServPro First Responders Bowl, where they will take on the Memphis Tigers.
The Utah Jazz fall to 14-12 on the season with a loss over the weekend to the Portland Trailblazers. The 116-111 loss came in spite of 45 points from Fernie Simons?
I think it is Simons, yeah.
The Jazz next face Golden State at home on Wednesday.
And an 11th time was not the charm for three baseball veterans.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling have been passed over for the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown again. This after failing to get enough votes of the Baseball Writers Association of America for a 10th time. This latest 11th decision was by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee, made up of Hall members, executives, and writers. Bonds has said he didn't knowingly use performance-enhancing drugs. Clemens denied using them. Schilling made hateful remarks toward Muslims, transgender people, reporters, and others. The panel elected former big league slugger Fred McGriff to the Hall. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.